Drive Time on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by Zurich. When family is all that matters, make sure they're protected. Visit Zurich.ie to learn more about life and serious illness cover.
Returning now to one of the main issues in relation to the building of the new National Maternity Hospital, I'm joined by David Duffy, who's a founder and CEO of the Corporate Governance Institute. David, you're very welcome to the programme, and I'm definitely need your expertise in solving some of these conundrums and dilemmas that are thrown up by recent conversations around the new National Maternity Hospital. You're an expert in corporate governance. Can I ask you about the arrangement that Kieran Mulvey brokered between Holles Street and the St. Vincent's Hospital, or Vincent's Healthcare Group, which dates back, I think, to 2016. Kieran Mulvey was speaking to Claire Byrne this morning, and he said that he believes this arrangement could work still and get us out of the conundrum. And I think the suggestion is four directors nominated from the current maternity hospital, four from Vincent's, and a golden share for the Minister for Health. Is that a way out of this?
It might well be. I think one of the challenges is understanding for the new legal entity to be set up what precisely are the objectives of that new legal entity. So what's within scope and out of scope in terms of the hospital? Because I know that the Minister and others want the new hospital to be able to provide all services to women. Mm-hmm. So the members of the organisation, whoever they are, can, you know, appoint the directors, remove the directors, or indeed change the constitution. So I'm not quite sure if that's been actually thought through successfully yet, but it might well be.
If what has been, sorry, spell that out for me, what has been thought through?
The constitution of the new entity.
Okay.
And because
would that have been done at incorporation of the new entity, which is St. Vincent's Group, I think, isn't it?
It's not clear to me. I did look at Kieran's report, and it's not clear to me exactly what the constitution would say. That's important.
And if the constitution were to outline a Catholic ethos for the new entity, for example, how would that influence the board members, or would it?
Well, if they're coming with a Catholic ethos, I don't think that's what the government has in mind. I think they want a secular ethos, which is free of all religious bias, potentially.
Mm-hmm. How many people should be on a board like this? Because I think it's around nine people if we were to strictly adhere to what Kieran Mulvey was putting forward. And I'm sure he'd even acknowledge himself that you could have a little bit more or less or whatever. But it would make up around nine people on the board. Would that seem right?
Yeah, you know, what he said in terms of board members is about right. It could be 10 to 12. What's more important is that you've got the right skills on the board and table from a clinical perspective, financial perspective, and legal perspective.
And that's how you'd make up the board. Then who would they answer to exactly, David?
Well, they should be answering to the members of the company. So it's unclear to me who the members of the company are.
And that's a key question, isn't it? Because if the Sisters of Charity divested the land, I'm not sure about this, or the chain of command, it seems to me, and we're operating in a sort of a vacuum here, which is unbelievable given the fact that about 800 million of taxpayers' money is to be invested into this. But it goes from the Sisters of Charity to St. Vincent's Healthcare Group to the new entity, which is St. Vincent's Group, if I'm not mistaken. And we don't know who the people who set up the St. Vincent's Group are. Is that correct? Is that what you're saying?
Well, it's clear to me who the directors of the St. Vincent's Healthcare Group are, but I don't know where this legal entity lies in the middle of it and who actually, you know, pulls the strings at the end of the day. And I don't think that's what the taxpayer would want.
And what about the golden share that Kieran Mulvey is talking about? That the Minister for Health would have a golden share. Does such a thing exist? How would that influence the makeup of the board?
It does exist in Irish law, and it can give you a veto in two ways. It can give you a veto over the organisation's charter, which would be the constitution, or it can give you a veto over who's on the board. So it could be used, provided it's done in a sensible way. But I suppose the confusion for me at the moment and many others is, you know, if a legal entity is set up, who controls it?
And if that golden chair, to go back to it for just a second, is that like the public interest director that we had for the banks when we were in recession with the banks, and to ensure that the public's interests, after the taxpayer invested so much into saving some of the banks, that the taxpayer's interests were looked after, public interest directors were appointed onto the boards. Does the golden chair work in a similar way?
Do you know, I don't know if the golden chair was used in that case, but it wouldn't be dissimilar. I mean, at the end of the day, it gives the minister the right to control the board. And if that wasn't there, it's hard to see how this would work equitably and fairly.
If you were advising on a situation like this, based on what you know, would you have restless nights about investing 800 million into it?
Well, I think, you know, if the taxpayers invest that, they'd want total control over the entity, and it shouldn't be open to the influence of any other party.
Okay.
And total control means having total control of the board and the chair and who's appointed to the board.
Okay, well, that's quite clear. David Duffy, founder and CEO of the Corporate Governance Institute, thank you very much indeed for joining us in the programme this evening.